abuser looks like, right? They're not, there's this stigma of, you know, quote unquote, you're a drug user and somebody who's like down on their luck and like homeless, or like we all have this vision of somebody who's like kind of that outcast of society. And it's your everyday person. You're walking across the street, you know, crossing paths with somebody, and it's your neighbor. It's a family member. It's, you know, an official in the city. It could be anybody. And I think what's missed in the opioid crisis is the fact that there's all these factors. We have an abundance of prescription drugs that are going out, right, for pain effects, right? I don't know a person over 40 that doesn't have a back issue, sure, right? So we have a lot of pain tolerance issues that happen. And what happens when we have smokers is that tobacco kind of downplays your ability to tolerate pain, right? So something like you and I stub our toe, it feels like a level 3 pain to us on a scale of 1 to 10. Hmm. Somebody who has smoked for a really long time might perceive that as like a 7.
Oh, wow.
Right? So now we're getting, they come in and they have a root canal or they have a back pain and they're given an opioid and they take it and it really doesn't do the job as what it would do for you and me. So they take a little bit more. Right. And now that pain is quelled a little bit, but they become tolerant to it. They take a little bit more. Now we end up in a situation where people are misusing the opioid, right? Using more than they're supposed to. And now they become addicted because now all of their pain, they now have tobacco and that's causing a pain response issue. And now they have opioids on board that are causing an issue. And we just start seeing this kind of landslide of overuse mm-hmm. in the drug, right? So I think my message would be, you know, there's a lot of different reasons and possibilities as to why people are using an opioid drug.
Right.
And it's not always mental health.
There's also those that, you know, had surgery or have a medical condition, or you have an 18-year-old that gets in a car accident and, you know, breaks their leg or something and they're started on these prescription pain pills. Or you have, you know, your kid goes over to his best friend's house whose dad has, you know, a back problem mm-hmm. and has prescription pills in the house.
Yeah,
it happens that way.
That's a really interesting fact that we've come across is you know, our younger kids that are maybe trying to sample what's out there, they don't go straight for heroin, right?
Right.
They're going to look for an easier way to access those drugs. And typically, it's going to be from somebody's medicine cabinet, yeah. right? We talk about drug safety and making sure that we keep all of those prescriptions in a safe and secure place. But I would guess that for the majority of people, their medicine cabinet in their bathroom is where they keep them.
Yeah.
Right. So now you have a locked door that your son or daughter's friend can go in, lock the door, have access to the sampling of pills, and they're not going to, you know, they take one or two. They're like, oh, they'll never know. Typically, your own kids don't, because they're going to think, well, if it's missing, mom and dad's going to think it's me. Mm. Right. But your friends aren't going to be worried about that.
Sure.
Right. So we talk about making sure that if you do have these drugs, in that you dispose of them correctly,
yeah.
don't hang on to them for a long period.